Welcome back to The Caravan from Red River Radio. I'm Bill Beckett. Twang Darkly released a CD called Modal Creatures in 2013, so we took the opportunity to have the guys into the studios to talk a bit about the CD as well as have them play some of the tracks live for us on The Caravan. But first up, we'll open the hour with a cut from this CD, once again called Modal Creatures. Here is the tune Peace Comes Dropping Slow, heard right here on The Caravan. Music by Twang Darkly from their 2013 CD called Modal Creatures. That tune was titled Peace Comes Dropping Slow. And we invited Twang Darkly into our studios tonight to talk a bit about the production of this CD and also play some tracks for us live in our Marion and Donald Weiss performance studios here at Red River Radio. Guys, thanks for joining me tonight.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having us.
Well, you've got a new album out, and it's called Modal Creatures. So modal, I presume that has to do with a lot of tuning, or is it a different idea?
No, it has to do with tunings, and modal music is a music that refers to having sort of fixed scales that relate to a root note, and it's a different approach to music than the chord-based progression stuff that most contemporary musicians seem to follow. In a lot of folk musics in the world, you find traditions of modal music preserved.
So could you give us quickly like an example of like a modal tuning?
Sure. For instance, some of our songs maybe use, one of them we're going to play tonight uses a Greek mode called sabak, which sounds a bit like this. Which is a fairly unusual sounding progression of notes to a normal person's ear, I think. And a lot of modes that you find in Eastern European folk music, Greek folk music and stuff, are heavily influenced by Turkish influences and this kind of Middle Eastern sort of thing. So you find these unusual sounding scales.
One, where did you produce this album and how long did it take for you to pull this together?
We recorded it mostly in my house. Over the past 6 to 8 months, we've been pulling tracks together. You know, it hasn't been sort of a thing where we had any sort of one block of time where, like, you know, we're going to record a CD this weekend or anything. Just we work on tracks as
you go along,
as we think of them.
Can you kind of go through and tell me a little bit about who wrote the various tunes?
Generally, the original idea for most of them, and this is true for 15 of the tracks on this album, they come from me. Normally, I bring an idea to the group, and I say, you know, Joel, I'm going to play this thing, and it's in this weird Greek mode, and he thinks, well, why are we going to do that? But then he jumps right in. And he, you know, starts inventing parts that fit with it. One of the reasons for the title of this album is we call it Modal Creatures, and it's because each one of these things has this kind of a life of its own. It starts, you know, with a set of rules, some DNA for how it's supposed to work. It uses this scale, and it's going to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But from there, it just goes wherever it happens to evolve. But all of them are sort of, in essence, by the time we're done, jointly.
And I look at the recordings as just a snapshot of the progression of the song. You know, I think if we tried to play the CD as much like the CD as possible, it would be challenging, but it wouldn't at all sound like the CD, you know, because depending on what we recorded that day and what take we took was just the life of that creature for that one day. I don't look at it as the definitive version. It's just a version. You know, it's of course, it made the cut to make the album, mm-hmm. but it's just a version. That's the way I see it.
Well, what would you guys like to start out first with off this CD?
We're going to start out with one called Will o' the Wisp.
And this is Twang Darkly with Will o' the Wisp. And this is from their brand new CD, Modal Creatures, right here on the Caravan. Music by Twang Darkly in our studios here on the Caravan tonight with a tune called A Will o' the Wisp. And you are listening to the Caravan from Red River Radio. We've invited Twang Darkly to join us tonight for a little conversation and music about their latest album. It's called Modal Creatures. It's got a very interesting cover design on it with a Renaissance era map on that. Where did you find that map?
Yeah, it's a map from the 15th century. It's called the Carta Morena. It's by some fellow named Ola Magnus or something like that. And it's a map of the North Sea. And what's remarkable about it is it has all these sort of creatures all over it, and sort of the here be monsters type thing that you see on old maps. And it seemed to fit really well. So
let's go back in time here a little bit in this part of our program and talk about where each of you come from. Michael, you're from the Piedmont area of North Carolina, is that correct?
I'm actually from the coastal area of North Carolina.
Area.
I live from a little town called Warsaw, which is very near the coast.
Is that near Cape Hatteras and all of that?
Or it's more down near Wilmington, that corner of the state.
All right.
But we spent a lot of time going up to the other end of the state to see the mountains and stuff, and that's where I became interested in all this kind of music.
And Joel, you're from Alexandria originally?
Well, I was born there. I lived in Pineville for the first 10 years of my life and then moved to Lafayette for a while and then Dallas for a while.
And it was down in Lafayette, Cajun country, that you kind of got exposed to a broader range of music, is it not?
Yeah, my parents were really into showing us lots of different types of things. You know, they'd take us to the opera and they'd take us to the festivals downtown, watching the old people get up out of their wheelchairs with the beer in their hand and dance. But culturally, my grandmother's from Generette, so we weren't total transplants. You know, I have some roots down south, Louisiana. And that's where I started playing the violin and then the guitar.
And Troy, you've been all over the place, but where did you start out from?
I grew up in Dallas, moved to Austin for school, was there for about 10 years, and then moved to New Jersey, where I was primarily playing in New York.
So we're going to continue on with some music here. You guys have got a brand new album out. It's called Modal Creature, and what would you like to play next from that?
We're going to do one called Mountain Fever, and we're going to do it here on this gourd dulcimer that I just built.
Tell us about this dulcimer real quick. You build your own instruments, for those who don't know, many of your own instruments, and you like gourds.
I do like gourds. I don't know. I've always been kind of obsessed with them. I've got the first song we just played, Will o' the Wisp. I was playing an instrument I called the gourd tar or the lap steel gourd or whatever suits my fancy that day. And that was the first gourd instrument I built. But this instrument I'm holding in my hand right now that we're about to play is an acoustic dulcimer, and it has the gourd as a resonator, and it sounds like this.
Kind of a combination of a warm, earthy tone, but with the steel strings, so it's still got a little bit of that pluck to it.
Yeah, and you'll find some other folks around, like in the Appalachian areas, who will build gourd dulcimers, but they're relatively rare nowadays.
Yeah.
So, and I remember seeing one kind of like this a long time ago at a flea market, and I always wished I'd bought it, so finally I built myself one.
So what's the name of this tune?
This one's called Mountain Fever.
All right, this is Twang Darkly in the studios tonight on The Caravan here on Red River Radio.
Thank you.
music by Twang Darkly in our studios tonight with a tune called Mountain Fever. Twang Darkly, our Michael Futrell on, well, all kinds of instruments, harmonica, gourd banjo, gourd dulcimers. Then we have Joel Boltinghouse on bass and slide and electric guitar, and Troy Messina on all kinds of percussion items in our studios here on the Caravan. So Mountain Fever, is there a specific story behind that title? Or is it just, I was thinking about a mountain and I had a fever?
Literally, the last thing you said is true. I was sick when I recorded this track. And it was the first one of the first pieces I wrote on this chromatic dulcimer. Also have an electric one, and on the album it's an electric version. So I was sick over the weekend, and I was just kind of feeling sorry for myself, but I was enjoying some music, and that was a piece I came up with.
We want to go through and just describe quickly some of the instruments for the audience that you're playing. We've gone through a couple of your gourd instruments. Troy, you've got a number of different percussion items with you. Could you talk about each one of those and where they kind of originate from and give us a little sample sound of those?
On that last song, Mountain Fever, I was playing congas. And I've got a sizzle cymbal that comes in every now and then, a traditional bass drum from a drum set, and a cajon that I'm using for a more snare-y kind of sound, basically a wooden box with some wires in it. And I have some hooves that I use for shaker-like sounds, and there's a tambourine that might come in periodically.
Yeah. Those are the hooves of a goat, by the way.
Yeah, I think I believe those are Peruvian. Congas, I'm pretty sure, are African.
Yeah.
The cajon, I have no idea where that came from.
You were going to say, Michael?
Oh, I was just going to say the hooves are called cha-chas.
Cha-chas.
Yeah. I actually bought those in Costa Rica, but I don't think that's where they're from originally.
So, well, Joel, growing up, where did you, I guess, get inspired to pick up the stand-up bass and make that kind of your livelihood?
Well, I was kind of happened upon the bass, just like Paul McCartney. You know, everyone plays guitar, so someone's got to play bass. So I was playing in rock bands when I was going to school up in Massachusetts and stuff. And I never owned a bass. I'd always just borrow a bass and an amp when we'd go play live. And I moved to Louisiana, and I hooked up with a friend of ours, and we started playing old, like Frank Sinatra type music. And I was borrowing his electric bass, and it just wasn't working, you know. It just didn't have that soul, that feel, you know. Yeah, the notes were right, but it just didn't have that. It just, you couldn't replicate it. So I started renting one, and I liked it, you know. I practiced a bunch before I ever played out live, and you know, went through all the blisters on both hands and all that stuff. And then I was always looking for one, and I found one on Craigslist. A music student in Denton was going to become a surprised, you know, unexpected father, and he needed to get rid of his bass. So I got a really nice bass for pretty affordable, and that's how I've only been playing about 4 years or so.
But it's a nice bass.
Yeah, it's a great bass. It's better than the one that I was renting, and a lot cheaper.
It's honey brown.
And it's lighter brown, yeah. It's blonde. It's got a little funny, weird thing on the side that looks kind of like a sugar cane. So that's its unofficial name after Marilyn Monroe and Some Like It Hot. You know, it's my sugar cane.
And Michael, I mean, we've talked before. I mean, you began, you know, kind of exploring music when you went on vacations up to Appalachia. But where did that, I guess, impetus come from to kind of go your own way and make what is truly, you know, an original sound? I mean, nobody else out there is creating anything like what you guys are doing. So
for me, I think the origin of wanting to do things kind of a little different arose out of an interest in rock music, but early on I encountered some somewhat stranger elements of rock music, such as Jethro Tull and these kind of things, which in turn led me to other kinds of unusual stuff. And when I found bands that in particular featured folks who were multi-instrumentalists, I found that really intriguing and appealing, that, you know, and a lot of the music I liked had in common the feature that the people who wrote it, they didn't really seem concerned with sticking to genre. and they would take influences from all over, and I found that enormously appealing. And as I sort of, you know, would sort of dig into the depths of, well, where did these kind of ideas and this kind of sound come from, you know, I'd find myself listening to old mountain music and stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of commonality between English folk music, which a lot of the rock music I was listening to was sort of rocked up English folk music, and Appalachian music. I was telling somebody the other day that Appalachian music is kind of like English and Scotch folk music that got left out in the woods for a really long time and sort of went its own way. And in fact, you find a lot of common pieces of music and songs between the two areas because of the history.
Let's get on with some music in the album. Is there anything in here that might, you know, draw some of that inspiration from those early musical influences that you have?
Well, this next one's certainly a little off the beaten track. It's called Spot for the Dragon.
This is Twang Darkly live on the Caravan tonight in our studios here at Red River Radio. Take it away. music by Twang Darkly. In our studios tonight on the Caravan, and a tune called Spot for the Dragon. So, gotta ask, what is the dragon, and what spot would you like that dragon to be in?
Well, you gotta let the dragon take whatever spot he likes.
Okay, is this a fire-breathing dragon?
Oh, the classic fantasy variety.
Right, yeah. So, well, I wanted to talk a little bit, Joel, you've played with... I guess what you call skate punk bands and things like that back in the day.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about like that experience of moving out of Lafayette and you went up to Texas, correct?
Yeah. My dad transferred to the Dallas area, and it was just one of those things that I just fell into. I had always had a very open mind about music, and you know, me listening to punk rock was a part of my high school, as was listening to, you know, Frank Sinatra and, you know, Led Zeppelin or whatever. If it was good, I liked it.
So what in the punk realm, what are the bands that you kind of really dug?
I was never really into a lot of really noisy punk. You know, I feel like coming from the Ramones school that, you know, punk and doo-wop really aren't that different. I want a two-minute pop song with something that you can hum after the song's over, you know, and I think that was in reaction to a lot of the Jethro Tull and Led Zeppelin and stuff that was out at the time. So I wasn't as into hardcore as a lot of my friends.
So as a Clash fan, how did you end up deciding that this kind of sound is someplace that you wanted to go with your own career?
To me, I was never really into compartmentalizing music. You know, it was music. And Joe Strummer, he did a number of acoustic things later on in his life and stuff. And I really... You know, I see our music is kind of proto music, just like kind of that punk Lou Reed thing. Is we don't spend hours and hours going over the arrangements, you know. And I feel in a lot of ways it's has a lot to do with jazz, and also in certain ways there's a punk aesthetic to it, where it's just, you know, there's a lot of heart.
Genre is a question that, you know, is always very difficult for us. It's very hard when somebody inevitably ask us, what kind of music do you play?
Yeah.
To know what to say. I like the Clash as well. And you know, all kinds of strange influences. We all like jazz. We all like some classical stuff. We're all over the map, and it shows up in various ways.
If you listen to a lot of our stuff, you're going to hear the Clash, and you're going to hear even like Jethro Tull. We have places where we do things that are borderline prog rock in our own way, but we're all playing things together that aren't necessarily like just straight 4/4 time.
Well, tell us a little bit about the tune Skinwalker.
Yeah, I had the day to myself, and I have an old cassette 4-track, and I was just going to goof off with it. I was just going to spend hours just laying down stuff. And on that song, I got out my accordion. I don't know how many accordions are on it, but I just put it through all these, not really crazy effects, but tweaked it a bit through some old vintage effect processors that I have. And so the droning, I think it's at least 3 or 4 different, me just playing the same note on the accordion through all the different effects. And I narrowed these songs down and brought over 3 or 4 or so over to Michael's, because he has a tape player, and we were going to be able to mix them down and put them on a CD. I was about to go on a road trip, and I was like, wanted to listen to what I had done. And a few days, weeks later, I don't know, he said, do you mind if I do something with them? I'm like, yeah, there's the garbage. You do whatever you want, you know. And I wasn't involved in the song anymore after that. These two guys took over from there. So
it's funny that the critical step was that someone had a tape player. Otherwise, this song would have never made it to an album.
It's true.
An actual cassette tape player, correct?
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He still has it.
Yeah, it comes in handy. I have a lot of tapes around.
So let's go ahead and take Skinwalker from Twang Darkly's brand new CD. It's called Modal Creatures, and this is the tune Skinwalker right here on the Caravan. Thank you. That was music from Twang Darkly and their album called Modal Creatures, and that tune was called Skinwalker. And we do have Twang Darkly in the studios tonight with us here on the Caravan. I saw you picking up the flute, and I presume that it means you've got a tune with a little Jethro Tull influence in it?
This is a more of in the sort of a jazz vein.
Ah, okay.
It's a tune called Gumshoe. I'm going to actually stand up for this one, so I'm going to move the mics around
for
a moment.
Go ahead and take care of that, and I'll do the quick intro. Well, this is Twang Darkly in our studios tonight here on the Caravan. This is a track called Gumshoe.
Thank you.
Twang Darkly in our studios tonight on The Caravan with a tune called Gumshoe. And just where does the title of that song come from?
It evoked to me some sort of a late rainy night, and I was imagining, again, San Francisco. Yeah, okay. In fact, sort of Dashiell Hammett sort of scenery when I was recording that.
The flute part, little elements of Jethro Tull with that very breathy sound, but also if you were to pinpoint a jazz flutist in there.
Well, I mean, if you start talking about Jethro Tull, then you start talking about Roland Kirk, who was actually a big influence on Ian Anderson.
Okay.
There's other flute players. Herbie Mann is one who comes to mind. But I'm not sure where it all comes from, to tell you the truth. It's just what sort of makes sense to do with a bamboo flute.
Now, is that a flute that you made yourself?
That is not a flute that I made, but it is a handmade flute, and all the flutes I play are made from bamboo. Most of the flutes I play now are made by this guy named Dawes, who lives down in Florida. Okay. And if you just Google Dawes flute, you'll probably find him, and he's got lots of videos and stuff.
What else would you guys like to play for us?
We're going to do one here, and we're going to need to get Joel on the guitar for it. We're going to do Bolting House Mountain.
Twang Darkly in our studios tonight on The Caravan with Bolting House Mountain right here on Red River Radio. Thank you. music by Twang Darkly live in our studios tonight on the Caravan with a tune called Bolting House Mountain. And is that the mountain that your family owns, or is that the mountain that you want to buy? I'm just curious.
No, I don't think anyone in the family owns it. It's just an ancestral place west of Austin around Marble Falls.
Okay.
And Michael always introduces the song about the... I don't know how many great grandfathers of mine cleared all the bears off the mountain. So he always dedicates it to the bears. So
okay. You've got a piece on this album. I love the titles. I'm kind of big into strange exotic titles, you know, for albums. Looking through some of the titles on here, there is one that just kind of really jumped out at me, and I got to know who is Fluffy and it, from what is Fluffy Rising? Because the name of the tune is Fluffy is Risen.
Well, Fluffy is a name that has a lot of meanings for me, but that song is interesting in that it's actually something I composed for a film soundtrack. The movie is called Counting for Thunder, and Fluffy is a family pet in the movie, let's say, and Fluffy has some difficulties with living, so that might be why he needs to rise. But anyway, director of the film's name is Philip Cooper, just got in touch with me on the basis of just finding us online. It stars and is directed by a fellow named Philip Cooper, but it's got some other folks in it that folks are going to recognize, like Marriott Hartley, John Hurd, Valerie Ross are all... folks who've been around and acting a long time, and some other younger actors, Peter Stebbings, Allison Elliott, etc. It's about an actor who's unlucky in work, and he has to go back home to the Deep South to sort of deal with a family crisis, and in the process he sort of discovers, while helping his mother, you know, they both go through this process by which they find their voice, sort of thing. It's a great script, and I'm really happy to be part of it. And it's been a great opportunity for me, and I've composed a lot of new music for it, some of which we play when we do live, including this piece, Fluffy is Risen.
Here are Twang Darkly in our studios live tonight on the Caravan with a tune called Fluffy is Risen. So was a Fluffy a pet cat, a pet bunny?
Fluffy's a guinea pig.
Fluffy is a guinea pig. Okay.
Literally.
And that tune that tune is called Fluffy is Risen, and it's on Twang Darkly's newest album called Modal Creatures, and we have Twang Darkly live in our studios tonight here on the Caravan. You've kind of gone through almost all of your instruments there. Is there one that has not yet been graced or graced our studios that you would like to play for us?
There is indeed another dulcimer I've not yet touched, so let's grab it. I'm going to do one called Hidden Folk. And there's a tradition in Iceland and other places of the idea of hidden folk, elves, other sorts of creatures like trolls and stuff, yeah. The things you don't see. They don't necessarily in all these places go bump in the night, but they are sort of a mysterious population that sort of moves in the background. This song is called Hidden Folk.
Music by Twang Darkly in our studios tonight on The Caravan with a tune called Hidden Folk from their album Modal Creatures, available at twangdarkly.com. So before we wrap it up tonight, any places that you guys will be playing in the near future?
We're really interested in doing house concerts, and in coming days we're doing a number of those, and folks who want to have some interesting music in their house performed, you know, sort of relatively quietly, not at like club volume and stuff, should get in touch with us. We do a lot of private events and that kind of stuff, and those are the events we actually like to do the most.
Twang Darkly, I want to thank you guys for joining me in the studio tonight.
Thanks a lot for having us, Bill.
Oh, thanks. Thank you
very much.
We're going to close out with one last track from your CD called An Approaching Giant from the CD Modal Creatures by Twang Darkly to close out this session of The Caravan. Music by Twang Darkly from their 2013 CD Modal Creatures, from which we heard the track An Approaching Giant. And once again, I want to thank Twang Darkly for joining me in our Marion and Donald Weiss Performance Studios tonight to play for us live and talk with me about this CD. If you'd like to know what they played tonight, just go to our website, redriverradio.org, where you'll find a complete playlist for tonight's Caravan program as well as all the Caravan programs. Stay tuned. We have more music coming up on Be Quiet and Play the Music right here on the Caravan from Red River Radio. And we are your community-supported public broadcasting service of LSUS. This is KDAQ, Shreveport-Bossier City. KLSA Alexandria Pineville, KBSA El Dorado Magnolia, and KLDN Lufkin Nacogdoches.
This week in This American Life, in this season of holidays and families, we have the story of a Michigan family in the 1960s told entirely from tape of them found in an old Salvation Army thrift store.
I got up to have my worship, and as I did, Daddy came in and sat down beside me. I felt rather funny because...
Three families... Their stories told entirely through scraps of old tape this week.
Monday night at 7 on Red River Radio.